I was going to ask you one more thing, or a few more things. First of all, why, getting back to the early 19th century, why did your family and that whole group of people move from Alsace-Lorraine to Russia? Was it because of religious freedom?
I read about it in one German book. Classic. At that time, classes were so
rigid, yeah.
Rigid that mortal German couldn't make enough money to feed his family.
Common person, yeah.
Common, yeah. So they looked for ways to get out of there. And Katerina II offered them all kind of privileges. Just get here. And thousands and thousands of people went to Russia. And thousands of them died. Couldn't make it.
Yeah.
Because they had no money for provisions. There was no way to make a living, to make money to live. But thousands made it. And the reporter tried a way back, the communications they had. That it's all right. Risk your life, but come.
Right.
And the German, and German authorities, they didn't like that. Because people, good working people, just left Germany. And they used strict measures to try to prevent them from going, but in a simple way.
Now, another thing I was going to ask you is, what would strike you as being the differences between your home village, a Catholic village, and, let's say, the Mennonite villages? You were saying before that they were similar but different. What would...
Buildings were different.
I was thinking more along the lines of lifestyle or
lifestyle.
Way of doing things.
No, I think the lifestyle was about the same. They were clean. Streets were even raked. And if some girl didn't rake, then in the morning they had straw. That's the young boys did it. They watched if the girls keep things clean, then here, clean that straw off and learn something.
Really?
And they had such things. But otherwise, it's moral was the same and same in. But one thing, yes, the Mennonite people cared more about the schooling than ours. That's for sure. I was surprised when I came to the German village, and then when I met the officers in the German regiment. Where did you get your education? In what city? In their cities. Hauptstadt, high school. So they were way ahead of ours. That I noticed that. But otherwise,
so, can you tell quickly the story of how you emigrated when you made up your mind to leave, how you went about doing things?
Well, I proposed to Margaret. At that time, we had to ask the father of the bride, mm-hmm. if he has any objection, if I'm going to go with this girl. He allowed me.
Mm-hmm.
And was right away, there was steering up things about going to America. And right away decided that the sister to Margaret, Martin Bekanus, tell me.
Introduce them. I'm sorry.
It's such a simple word.
Yeah.
Anyway, about the same age, had the same interest, and we decided, yes, we want not just an account of the political situation, but we want something new.
Mm-hmm.
Want to work, get ahead. And we give our names, they put us in the list, and that was that.
Mm-hmm.
But when it came to the time to go to Canada, they picked me out as a conductor, as a leader of a train group.
Right?
The men alive, then I'm supposed to talk to the red fellows? Yes, you're the only one what would be good for it. That's why we picked you out. And wherever it is, I had to go to it. And you know, it's not a very good feeling when you...
For sure, because you were... If you would have been caught.
But
at that time it was a little easier to get out.
Well, naturally, you got to find her.
It didn't take as long.
Mm-hmm.
Even at that time, it was not much fun to
no,
talk.
I know, because you may hear later. And, you know.
But the only thing, right at the start, I decided you got to play like one of them.
Mm-hmm.
If we start to swear, swear too. Just do like you are one. And that didn't wonder them to bit, and everything was one, and if you were a tovarish, and that's all.
So you had no problem?
No problem. When they first came to a village, they called every man to come to the to a meeting. They're going to be all registered, and each going to get his papers.
Uh-huh.
And I came, and I had the red beard. Red beard. So, big room, and a big bagon. Maybe you heard the name, himself shot people. He didn't ask somebody else, he usually did it himself. He was the guy that looked at me, look at that red sample of a real revolutionary. Red like fire. I look at him. Well, what are you doing? Work. Okay. For whom? For him. that guy was there too. Well, you look like a real wolf. Sign the papers. And all the out of that village, about 10, 12 people were in my regiment.
Mm-hmm.
They knew me.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly what I was. And here, play a figure like that and not the boss laughing or something was a trick too.
Right.
Later on, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, there was a lot of other things happened there alone when we were at the polls. They wanted to kill us. They killed every one of them. Not just 45,000, they would kill all 70,000 if they just could. And they feed us beets, you know, the common beets when they feed the cattle.
Mm-hmm. Turnips.
Not turnips. Turnips they are eating, but the pea beta, large beets, what the special grow for cows,
mm-hmm.
or have loose stool
life. Mm-hmm.
And they used the meat for it. It was horse guts. And we found horse manure yet in the guts.
Oh,
that's the way they fed us. Till an American, not American, English Red Cross came there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just simple lucky. And then all at once a nurse came to me and sat in a hospital, the English nurses are looking for a man what could speak more than one language. And once that I told one that you can speak German, French, and Russian, and she's gonna come and see you. She came. She will parler français and pay my down, Papa. But at that time I was not very long out of gymnasium.
So you remembered it.
And I remember pretty well. I could put it in, talk free German.
French.
As well, the Germans, some of the boys after Russian, but German and French. And I got the job as chef of the kitchen. That was pretty good too.
And where was this exactly that you
that was in that was by the Polak, not far away from Warsaw.
Uh-huh.
Krakow. In Krakow, yeah. But out of 70,000, 17,000 came back to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And just through one winter, dysentery.
So, where did you arrive in Canada?
Where did you settle? I came in Canada, in Quebec. Well, we in Quebec landed, and then the language. I listened, and he start to ask, look at your ask me. No, can't understand. And not a man there what could speak German. And then I listened. Then I asked, how do they move? Moabishi. Escupali process. And then he just blew up, start to hollow. Here's a guy, he can speak French, but Parisian French, not Patois. You
know,
just speak Patois. So, right away after me, you speak French. I say, I'm not much of a Frenchman, but if you speak so a man can understand what you want to say, not that Patois, I can't understand that language. Well, the guy found what speaks high French, Parisian French.
Right.
And then we went along fine. And then people in Europe carried me around, and they're so happy. In no time, they had the papers all finished, and that was cool.
And so where did you go from there? Did you come to Kitchener, or did you go to West?
We went straight there, there in Quebec, right away, they divided us. Does but want to go west, does not want to go to Kitchener. Some went to Winnipeg and some straight west to British Columbia. And does not went to Kitchener, and they came in Waterloo in a church. And the church, of course, and they all, and the Mennonites didn't do, they didn't look in your teeth. But otherwise, they looked at your arms and asked if you know how to plow and if you knew how to milk a cow. And I was stupid enough. I never walked behind a walking plow and never milked a cow. So everyone would talk to me. Conch de coup make it. Just French party. And when everything was done, everybody was gone, but just me and another fellow without a job. Why? I asked him, Conch de make it. Conch de make it, he said. That's why. Because we couldn't. But then a guy said, there is a fellow, he's a Lutheran. He looked for the man. And he doesn't care, can you milk or not milk. So that's what he went. And he took us to his place, and we didn't have working clothes, just in our good street clothes, fairly good street clothes, the best we could buy at that time. And he sent us out shock, wet coats. No fork, nothing, just by hand.
Boy, boy.
And I bought new shoes, Soviet shoes, made in Soviet time. First thing I knew, the sole fell off. It was just glued on. But finally, we got to the Lutheran fella. Nice fella. I worked for him a few months, but I couldn't see a future.
What do you take in your coffee?
Oh, cream and sugar, please.
Yes. And what you want.
You know, okay.
You take strawberries too, would you? Or daughter I was here, then, or grandson's wife, and they had strawberries.
But,
so how long did you stay there?
I hired out for $25 a month and board. And that's for the working months. But that was 3 months. he owed me $75.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said he had a poor year, so he's going to owe me the $75. So I went to Beringer, I forgot his first name, in Elmira.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the lumber business. And told him that I am broke, and I rented a farm, $60 a year, a barn, bank barn, and a house, woodshed, and 35 acres of land,
mm-hmm.
all $60 a year. And I think I can make a living out of that somehow. Mm-hmm. A guy owed me $75. He said they're going to pay me when he's going to have money. So that's how we started. And finally he decided, since he got no money, he going to give me a horse. Give me a heifer and give me 40 chickens.
Give you a start.
Instead of money.
Ah, yes. So
when I rented that
right,
farm.
Right.
The mayor was 25 years old. The heifer was in calf waiting for him. And the chickens were old chickens. And he claimed an old chicken knows how to lay eggs. But they lay the whole winter just crumb eggs. So what we survived, the Jacob Johnson preacher, he helped me with them. We ate them for the winter. And then I worked out. I loaded manure, usually hard work,
mm-hmm.
and thrashing the trash too late in the fall,
yeah.
in the barn, and I don't know why, but it had every hole closed in the barn. You couldn't see nothing there. Mucked in the barn. But the food was terrific. The food was terrific. The old house, the old Maronite street, that good.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
But you went out west eventually, didn't you?
And I worked there just two seasons.
Uh huh.
And had good crops from that 34 acres.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2 years, had $2,000 clear money and paid on top of that my trip.
Really?
All in 1 year.
Boy, oh boy.
Yeah. But we worked hard.
Mm-hmm. You must have.
And the had the good luck with the pigs and potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
From the 34 acres, there was about 10 acres fair ground. I planted potatoes there. And we went and worked, my wife and I. And if they give me a horse,
mm-hmm.
and they figure the horse worth a day 50 cents. But I was worth $1. So for $1, I had a horse for 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And I used it to plow my horse and his horse, with two horses. And the what else? Yeah, potatoes were very cheap the first year. For a Bauman, we cut potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
We plant them with one eye.
Right.
So we cut potatoes with my wife. And then one day, that winter night came with a planter, two horses, and the wagon loaded with cut potatoes and planting 6 acres of late potatoes. And I forgot already, was it 2 or 4 acres of yearly with cowper. I forgot already the names of the potatoes. So anyway, and then one truck came in the yard, yeah, before the potatoes start to plant, and he dumped 2 ton of fertilizer, $18 a ton. He said, when Geld harsh, dann was bezahlen. So everything went to credit. Why my hair just sent like that? But went to Gingrich and said that I have no money, but my wife wants to cook something and there is no place to cook. So he borrowed me $10 and I bought a used stove for $10. So finally, tomatoes came and we looked under the plants. As soon as we found one in the size of a nut, out it goes, and put them in a 6-quart basket, and went from house to house, potatoes. Mm-hmm. Oh, Sala Rus hat Krumpeer, they call us Rus.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the potatoes are very high. I finally in the fall sold a $3.50 a bag.
Really?
And a bag at that time was 90 pounds.
Right.